praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirits depart, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Pratheep. As we turn to God's word, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you that this is your word. Thank you that you are a God who speaks to us on these issues. And as we consider your justice now, please would you shape us to be more and more like you, our God and our King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a question that we've been asking across this weekend. What makes you long for justice? What things in the world or things in your own life make you long for justice? Several people have written a few things. Let's read some. Children who aren't shown love, the abuse of children, seeing homeless people sleeping rough, how much footballers get paid. Past traumas, abuse, the persecution of Christians, the war in Ukraine and the Middle East, unfair pay, Mohammed Al-Fayed or Jimmy Savile, these people who have abused others and died before that's come into light, those who are looked down on, those who crush the weak. There's all sorts of different things, aren't there, that we could think about, all sorts of ways, as Evelyn has prayed, that we feel the injustice of God in the world, things that we feel really strongly about, rightly so. It was moving yesterday to hear many in the church family expressing their experience of racial discrimination, racism of various kinds. What a heartbreaking thing to hear that these are the kind of things that are going on in the world. How heartbreaking to hear that as we walk up and down 4th Street, there are those amongst us, walking alongside us, who are suffering these kinds of abuses that Gloria was talking about. We feel strongly about that, and rightly so. Where is our hope? Where is our hope for help? Is there any hope for help? Or do we just kind of have to get used to the reality that life's not fair? Well, Psalm 146 helps us to think this through. It's a psalm about justice, and it starts by telling us where hope for justice is not found. Where is our hope for justice? It is not to be found in people. I think maybe Seth's head's in the way of the clicker, so I can't. There you go. Where is their hope for justice? It is not in people. Have a look at verse 3. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. We talked a little bit yesterday about what individuals and organizations can do to address injustice. But what this verse teaches us is that ultimately, human beings are not able to put right the wrongs of this world. Evelyn prayed that, didn't she? We are ill-equipped. We are not able to actually bring true justice, which seems pretty obvious, but actually that's quite an unpopular opinion. That's quite countercultural. We're often told, aren't we, that we are the answer, that it's up to us, that if only you do this or if only we did that, then we could end world poverty or we could put a stop to modern slavery or we can save the planet. And obviously those are good things to want to do, but we're in for disappointment if our hope is only in ourselves. Don't put your trust in human beings. Verse 3, not even in princes, the ones who have power and influence and resources. Our new government's manifesto has lots of great stuff in it about child poverty, about respect and equality for all. But don't put your trust in Keir Starmer. Mr. Beast has 316 million subscribers on YouTube. He's used some of that influence and some of that money to do good things. He's given meals to more than 21 million people in need. He's somewhat controversially done videos about helping blind people and deaf people to get the operations that they need to be able to see and to hear again. But don't put your trust in influencers. He's not the answer. Precious Motsepe, along with her husband, is worth about $3 billion. And she has pledged to give half of it away to charitable causes. They've set up the Motsepe Foundation, which improves the lifestyle of those who are marginalized and oppressed in South Africa. But don't put your hope in the Motsepes. Why? Because all of them are limited. Look at verse 4. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Governments fail on their manifestos and get voted out. Influencers fall out of favor. Even this morning, I saw a headline about Mr. Beast and some questions. Billionaires eventually die. Isaiah warns us of the reality that we are all too familiar with, that big names are not always what they seem. Just seeing the stuff that's come out about Mohammed Al-Fayed this week has been a grave reminder of such a thing. And even the best of them, even if they are wonderful people, even the best of them are limited. Each of us has a full stop at the end of our lives. So true lasting hope for justice is not going to be found in people, but rather in the Lord. Look at verse 5. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Not just any old God, but the one true God, the God of Jacob. You're in a good place if your hope is in the Lord as your God, because, verse 6, he is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. Here is someone who has way more power than any government will, someone with much more influence than any YouTuber, someone with much larger resources than any businesswoman. The Lord is able to effect change that is beyond the reach of any mere mortal. And verse 6, he remains faithful forever. Isn't that good news? He's never going to change his charitable focus. He's never going to give up on his goals for as long as he lives. And that is a very, very long time. Verse 10, the Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Amen? Amen. He made all things. Amen? Amen? He sustains all things. Amen? Amen? He is the one who reigns as king forever. Amen? Amen? Do you know that's a really terrifying thing if he's a bad guy? Again, think of Mohammed Al-Fayed and the power and the influence and the money and what that does or what that can do if that person is a bad guy. If that person is using his power and his influence and his resources to abuse others, it'd be a terrifying thing if the Lord, the one who has all power and all resources, was actually a bit of a bad guy, but he's not. What is he like? Our God is a God of justice. That's what verse 7 tells us. Verse 7. He upholds the cause of the oppressed, or literally, he does justice for the oppressed. It's the Hebrew word mishpat, which is used loads in the Old Testament, 422 times. And this word is a rich word. Justice is about what's fair, and justice is about care. Justice is about what's fair, what's right, and what's true. I guess many of us might tend to think of justice in this kind of way. We think of justice as a legal thing, you know, a word from the courtroom. Justice is when there's a correct decision or a trustworthy ruling. It's about what's fair. So it's justice when a criminal is convicted or when an innocent person is freed. And it's not justice if an innocent person is condemned or assumed guilty because, say, for the colour of their skin. And it's not justice when a guilty person maybe gets off free because of the connections that they have. No, people should be treated equally. And mishpat, this word for justice, includes this idea of fairness. So Leviticus 19, do not pervert justice, same word. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly, equalness. And we see this aspect of fairness here in the psalm as well. Look at verse 7. What does the Lord do at the end there? The Lord sets prisoners free. It's not talking about releasing criminals early because you've run out of prison space. But if someone is wrongly imprisoned, either because they're not guilty or perhaps because they've paid their time, they've done their time, then justice is to set that prisoner free. And that's what the Lord is like. He is someone who is fair. Or verse 9, the Lord watches over the foreigner. Here's another way that we see the equalness, the fairness of God. All people should be treated equally, wherever they're from, which is why the Lord told his people Israel in the Old Testament, the foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself. Tim Keller, the pastor and theologian from America, who passed away a couple of years ago, he says that Mishpat's most basic meaning is to treat people equitably. It's about what's fair. But it's more than that. Justice is more than determining what is right and what is wrong. It's not just about what's fair, it's also about care. Justice is making sure that every person is treated with the equal honour and dignity that they are due as someone made in the image of God. Let me say that again. Justice is about making sure that every person is treated with the equal honour and dignity that they are due as someone who is made in the image of God, which therefore must include an active compassion towards those who are vulnerable, a moving towards those who don't currently receive the equal dignity and honour that they are due. See, the Lord is not just like a judge who makes sure that the right verdict is passed. He is also like a social worker who moves towards the disadvantaged to correct any imbalance. And that's the sense of mishpat that comes across most clearly in this psalm. Look down at verse 7 to 9. There's loads of categories of those who are disadvantaged or in need in society. And look at what the Lord is like. Isn't he beautiful? Verse 7. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow and frustrates the ways of the wicked. This is justice. Do you see, it's not just legal, it's pastoral. The Lord is not just fair, he's a God of care. Which of course then raises a difficult question. Because if God is a God who has unlimited power and influence and resources, and he's a God of justice, then why is there so much injustice? Why are there people who are oppressed or blind or hungry? Why do we see children growing up who haven't been shown love? Why do we see things like P. Diddy abusing people with his power and his position? Why do we see people being sinned against? Why do sex workers get trapped in a cycle of addiction and being trapped in a place where they can't get out? Why does this happen? And those are difficult questions. They're complex ones. Probably one that we can't do justice to in one sermon. I'd love to talk more afterwards if there's questions. Do come and chat with me about that. But actually, the Bible does speak into these issues in quite complex ways. There are a number of answers. The Bible does have answers to this question of injustice. And one of the key parts of that answer is to realize that we are living in a time, as was mentioned earlier, I think Gloria mentioned the fact that we were made in the image of God and we don't now live in that way. We begin to live in ways that are unjust. We live in the brokenness of this world at a time where we are awaiting still the full coming of the kingdom of God. That's so important for us to remember. But that is coming. When Jesus returns, all of these wrongs will be put right. Won't that be great? When Jesus returns, justice will be done completely. And so for the here and now, while we might have questions about how God administers justice right here, right now, let's not lose sight of the fact that this is who he is. This is what he is like. This is his heart. And we know this because of what our Lord Jesus is like. When God took on flesh and walked around the world, he brought justice wherever he went. Here was someone who was totally fair, someone who was full of care. In fact, do you know, justice was so central to the mission of Jesus. Justice is so central to why he had come that this is exactly how he announced his ministry. Right at the start, he's there in a synagogue. He stands up and he reads this from the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Everyone's eyes in the synagogue are on him, and Jesus says, "Today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. This is why I have come." And this is what he did. In the words of Psalm 146, think of how Jesus upholds the cause of the oppressed. Think of how he defended that lady who anointed him with perfume. A lady with a questionable sexual history, and everyone else was having a go at her. But Jesus upholds the cause of the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. On more than one occasion, he provided packed lunch for thousands. He sets prisoners free. Don't we know that to be true because he's done that for us? That's why he came, to release us from captivity to the devil. He gives sight to the blind. Do you remember Bartimaeus? Son of David, have mercy on me. And he did. He lifts up those who are bowed down. There was a lady who'd been bleeding for 12 years. There was a 12-year-old girl who had died. And with a touch, Jesus lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord, verse 9, watches over the foreigner. Can you see Jesus sitting at that well, chatting to an immoral Samaritan? He sustains the fatherless and the widows, like the widow of Nain, whose only son had died, and Jesus turns that funeral into a party by touching death to bring life. This is what our Lord Jesus is like. He is a God of justice, a God who is fair, a God who cares. Praise the Lord, right? Hallelujah. That must be the right response. Amen, El Netan. Thank you for joining in. And because that, you're actually joining in, El Natan, with the psalm. Look how the psalm finishes and ends. Starts and finishes even. Finishing and ending is the same thing. Look how it starts and look how it ends. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to God as long as I live. And right at the end, praise the Lord. This is the right response. Praise the Lord that this is what our God is like. You know, he doesn't have to be like this, but he is. Tim Keller quotes the Sri Lankan in his book, Generous Justice. He quotes the Sri Lankan scholar, Vinoth Ramachandra, who says that this is scandalous justice, saying that in virtually all the ancient cultures of the world, the power of the gods was channeled through and identified with the elites of society, your kings, your priests, your military leaders. But here, in Israel's rival vision, it is not the high-ranking males, but the orphan, the widow, and the stranger with whom Yahweh takes his stand. Isn't that good? His power, he says, is exercised in history for their empowerment. Isn't our God good? Praise the Lord. This is what he's like. I mentioned yesterday Tom Holland, the popular historian who's not himself a Christian, but he says it is a fundamentally Christian idea that the rich have a duty of care to the poor, that there is value in weakness. You see, if this is what our God is like, then it matters how we live. The way that we interact with others can either be righteous or wicked. Those two groups are mentioned in our psalm, and it's clear which group is in tune with the Lord's heart, because verse 8, the Lord loves the righteous, but verse 9, he frustrates the way of the wicked. Justice is the character of our God, and he calls his people to live in this way. All over the Old Testament he talks about this. Maybe most famously in Micah 6, 8. Oh, I've lost Micah. Oh, here it is. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. They were to reflect the character of God in their community. Problem is they didn't. And when God's people ended up on the receiving end of judgment, this was one of the big reasons that God gives. He looked for justice, but saw bloodshed. For righteousness, but he heard cries of distress. In our sin, it's very natural. Would you agree with this? In our sin, it is very natural for us to be unfair. For us to treat ourselves and those who are like us better than we treat other people. In our sin, it is very natural for us to be uncaring, for it to be the priority for us to care for my needs rather than seeking to help those who are in a tough spot. Imagine that someone had recorded a soundtrack of your life. Just scoot through even the last week, now through the whole of your life. Imagine if someone was there like recording a voice memo the whole time. Imagine that was put on a... I don't think we have a CD player here at church. But imagine if that was recorded and we played it now over the speaker system. How would you feel about that? You happy? Anyone up for that? Would it be true to say that that soundtrack would be full of these kind of things? It would be full of things that are selfish and unkind and disrespectful and unfair? All of us, the soundtrack of our life is marred by sin. And that doesn't seem to be such a big deal. Is it that big a deal to be a bit unkind? Well, the Bible says it is wicked and it deserves judgment. You see, when Jesus came, he brought about justice in the world and he lived this perfect life which was unmarred. The soundtrack of his life was in fact the opposite of that. It was full of kindness and grace and compassion and help for those who were in need. And even if you'd had a voice memo going for the whole of his life, you never would have heard a single unkind word go on out of his mouth. But Jesus came not simply to show us how it should be done, but actually not only to bring the kingdom, but to make us a way for us to be able to enter into the kingdom. You see, God is fair. Which means he can't just ignore all of the crimes that we've committed. The penalty for these things is death, and someone has to pay. On the cross, what Jesus did was he took the soundtrack of my life and he placed it on himself. As Jesus died on the cross, he took on himself all of those things that I have done wrong, my selfish, unfair, unkind disrespect, the ways in which I have sinned. And on the cross, Jesus paid the full penalty for that sin instead of me. And not only did he do so, but he did a swap so that his righteous life, his perfect life, unmarred by sin, full of kindness and goodness and gentleness and grace, was put in my CD case. That now becomes the soundtrack of my life. You see, not only did he take my wickedness, but he gave me his righteousness. I used to be a prisoner in the kingdom of darkness, but at the cross I have been set free. I used to be blind, but now I see. It's at the cross that we see that God is both just and the one who justifies. Because he declares me not guilty while at the same time remaining fair because Jesus has paid for that sin instead of me. At the cross, I enter into that kingdom community. Can I ask you, is that something you have done? Have you repented of your selfish sin, admitted your wickedness, asked Jesus to take that for you and given your life to the Lord? I know many of us have. And if so, then the kingdom community should reflect the justice of God. This now is to be our soundtrack, the soundtrack of Jesus in our lives. We are called to walk as those who are righteous and not wicked. Because of his great mercy and compassion that he has shown us, mercy that we could not earn and don't deserve, but because of his great mercy on us, that mercy then should overflow to others. And it's not just the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we see that justice is at the heart of what Christian community should look like. This is the soundtrack of what we should be, places of truth and equality. Places where no one is left out, where no one is left in need, where the poor and the vulnerable are treated with extra special care. Now, that's not all that we're called to do. We need to be careful, I think, not to focus so much on justice issues that we fail to proclaim the word of Jesus, the good news of Jesus. Jesus is very clear that it's through the word and by the Spirit that people are changed. That is how light comes into darkness. That is how order comes to people of chaos. Jesus came not just so that we could live a lovely, happy life together. Jesus came so that we could be saved and forgiven and transformed into the people that he has made us to be. That is our greatest need. Let's never forget that. We must declare the word. But in our love for one another and in our relationship and our outreach to the lost, these two things must go together, bringing the kingdom in word and in deed. As the kingdom community reflects the justice of God, that is good for those who are in the kingdom. It's a compelling witness to the watching world, and it is glorifying to God. So as we close, let's consider for a couple of moments what it might look like for us to live in this way. What might it look like for you this morning to have this as the soundtrack of your life? What is the Lord calling you to do? Maybe for some of us, a start would be when we're playing games, maybe with our brothers and sisters. We don't cheat because cheating is not fair. Or perhaps this morning, for some of us, the Lord has laid on your heart a particular ministry that we could engage with as a church. If so, come talk to me about that. I'd love to chat to you about that. Perhaps the Lord is calling you to be involved in Enfield Grace Advocacy or the cafe team that meets on Fridays. Both ministries, we heard about them yesterday, which seek to share the good news of Jesus in word and in deed. Talk to Eunice or Debbie or Rob, if you want to be involved in those. Perhaps some of us have got some time that we could volunteer. Weber Street is a London City Mission ministry that has served lots of homeless people for many years. They give food, welfare, and a Bible talk to around 70 homeless people every day. And they've just gone through a refurbishment at their centre in London. From the 17th to the 20th of October, they're looking for a bunch of volunteers to help with the last bits of refurbishment, things like putting shelves together and clearing and painting and that kind of thing. 17th to the 20th of October this year. If that's something you'd be interested in helping with, do come and talk to me and I'll send you a link. Or perhaps, having heard Gloria speak earlier, your heart is moved to volunteer with Streetlight, helping those ladies on the street. You do have to be a female to be able to volunteer with Streetlight, but if that's you, talk to Gloria. I'm sure she'd love to give you more information. Perhaps some of us have money that we could give, and the Lord Jesus is calling us to give to places like Caring for Life, who work up in the north of England, sharing the love of Jesus with hurting and at-risk people. Or Open Doors, who provide relief and training to persecuted Christians across the world. Perhaps something that's come from this weekend is that the Lord is calling you to be more thought through on issues of racial unity following our discussion yesterday. I mentioned this book, Healing the Divides, How Every Christian Can Advance God's Vision for Racial Unity and Justice, written by Christian authors. Really helpful as an introduction to help us think through these things. We've got some of these available to buy today for a bargain price of £5. If you would like to have one of those, go and talk to Debbie and she can sort that out with you. Maybe the Lord is calling us. Something we can all do is to be more informed and more prayerful on issues like abortion or human trafficking. CARE is a great Christian organisation working in those areas. And if you scan that QR code, you're welcome to get your phone out and do it now. You can sign up for a weekly email to stay updated with these issues to do with all sorts, actually, including some of those justice issues. Perhaps the Lord's calling some of us to repent of being uncaring or unfair or racist in some of our attitudes or assumptions. Perhaps he's calling some of us to campaign for a disadvantaged group. Or maybe to be a really good friend and a support to those who are bereaved or lonely or single parents or abused. Maybe this weekend will just change the way that you think about your work or your parenting. Perhaps the Lord is calling you to look into adoption or foster care. You can talk to Julia about that. Let's have a moment to consider that for ourselves, a minute's quiet or so. Ask the Lord, what are you calling me to do, either as an individual or as a church, to seek to image your justice in this world? A minute or two to consider that. Lord, show us where it is that you want us to reflect your justice in the world. We praise you that you are a God of justice, a God who is fair, a God who cares. And we know that as the kingdom community reflects the justice of God, it's good for those of us who are in the kingdom. It's a compelling witness to the watching world. May they know that we love each other. May they know that we love others because of your love for us. And we know that as we reflect your character, it is glorifying to your name. And so for these reasons, please would you move us to be increasingly a people together as a church family and individually in our lives who express the justice of God in the way that we go about our everyday work and duties. But also, Lord, if there are particular ways that we can do this in increasing measure, please help us to hear your voice and to be obedient to those things. Lord, help us to declare the kingdom in deed and in word. And we pray that through the gospel of the Lord Jesus, through the message of his death on the cross, to satisfy the justice of God, that you would bring many to faith in him, into this wonderful kingdom community. We pray this for your glory's sake, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lots to think about, lots to chew on, lots of practical follow-up and application. If there's something you would like to think about further or pray through, then there will be a prayer team who, during this final song, will come and sit at the front. If you'd like to pray with someone about what we've talked about or about anything else, please do find someone with a purple lanyard. But we're going to close our time together now by singing God, the Uncreated One, the one who is King forevermore. So this is how we'll end our service. Thank you so much for coming. Do stick around for lunch if you're able to, and make use of the prayer team as they come to the front.